Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22. And when Joram saw Jehu, he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" He answered, "What peace can there be, so long as the harlotries and the sorceries of your mother Jezebel are so many?" Here ends the text. Peace? Certainly not in our world. Our history classes are but the great from the details of World War I and World War II in our minds. Within our realm of experience is the Korean War. And who of us can't remember the 6 o'clock news reports a few years ago telling us how many jet fighters were shot down or how many troops were lost or killed in combat? Peace never has been one of the attributes of our world. It's a hard, cold fact. And it's that same hard fact that Joram and Jehu and the characters in our text have to come to grips with. The story was told to us in the Old Testament lesson. Jehu was appointed, he was anointed by God to be his servant, to be his king. And his first task was to conspire against Joram, against the house of Ahab, and eventually to kill him. One question that keeps popping out in the text is, "Jehu, is it peace?" The messengers that Joram sends out to meet Jehu as he's driving his chariot furiously respond with that same question, "Is it peace?" And Jehu answers, "What is peace to you, servants of Joram?" And once again we see the question repeated, "What is peace?" when Joram confronts Jehu himself. And Jehu responds, "How can there be peace in your house as long as this sinfulness continues?" That is basically the problem that Joram has between God and himself. So we all know that in order to have peace, whether we're talking about two nations, whether we're talking about two different parties, two different individuals, or ourselves and God, there has to be an agreement between those two parties. And any time that in the interpretation of the other, that peace is hindered, strife begins. Undoubtedly, here in our Concordia community, we seem to be living in a peaceful community. Indeed, if any community in all of the world right now today should be at peace, it should be this community right here. Strong, 660 of us, mature, Orthodox Lutherans, at least more or less, all studying to be ministers of God's word. That's the fact. But sad to say, the fact isn't as it should seem to be. We too struggle right here at Concordia. We too have strife. We squabble over the insignificant. We fall prey to the lurking jealousy. Our greed is grabbing the praise around us. And gossip here too makes its bold attempts at breaking down these strong walls of Christ's church. We hear the common worldly refrain among brothers, "It's not fair, you're not being just." We too struggle, we too have strife. A few hundred years later, peace is still a big topic and a big concern. And we hear the words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. "I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." God has seen our precarious predicament. He has seen the trouble that we have. He has seen that there is no way for our sin and our strife to cohabit with sin, with peace. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, has sent Jesus, his Son, to come down and to bear that war inside himself. And we see it happening on Calvary. God's peace and man's strife has to come to grips with each other in Jesus Christ. And we all know what happened. On that cross and that Good Friday, Jesus does bear our strife. He does bear our sin. He does bear our hell. And now there is peace within our world. This event of Jehu and Joram in the Old Testament, a result of sin, shows us and reminds us of the other event on Good Friday, on Calvary, also a result of sin. Brothers, is it peace? Today the answer is, it is peace. God has empowered us to be his unique community. He has given us his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear all of our strife. He ensures us of his true peace every day through his word and through his sacrament. And every day we are given once more the chance to live in his forgiveness peace, in the forgiveness peace of Jesus Christ. And now, because of that, we can say with real meaning this call when he writes to the Philippians, "Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus." Amen.